Okay, and I see now I have a little confirmation on my screen that we are recording, which, as Kim probably explained, is a necessity because this meeting is being conducted online. So thank you all for joining us in this sort of unusual way. If you probably are getting a lot of practice with this, if you've got other stuff going on like this. I'm going to go ahead and call the meeting to order here at 4:01 p.m. by Zoom on April 15th, 2020. The recording is running. Just one thing to note as we kind of proceed through this meeting, because it's a little difficult to hear what everybody's saying, we usually pass our motions with voice votes. Not that we're expecting anything not to be, unanimous as it usually is this time, but we're going to take roll call votes just to make sure that we can, kind of get that recorded. The first order of business, as usual, is to look at the March 18th, 2020 minutes and make any additions or corrections to those. And I think those went out by email. If anyone has any additions or corrections, please feel free to say. Otherwise, I think it'd be good to have a motion to approve those.
I'll make that motion.
Okay, we've got a motion from Chris. Is there a second?
I'll second the motion.
Okay,
Rhonda,
thank
Rhonda.
you. We've got Rhonda to second it. Any further discussion? Okay, Kim, since you're taking the notes, do you want to conduct the roll call vote?
Sure, I can do that.
Thank you.
Jana Emmons, Kim Fraley.
Yes, aye.
Thank you. Chris Layton.
Aye.
Kathy Ludlam.
Yes.
Trig Mead.
Aye.
Rhonda Vogel.
Aye.
And Keely Vollmer.
Aye.
Great. Okay, we will move on to public comment. As the notice states, there was a way to do public comment by email submitted ahead of time. Kim, did we get any public comment by email this time?
Yes, I'm just checking in case anything came in at the last minute, but no, I do not have any emails. And
Okay.
I do not see any anyone else but us that has logged in.
Okay, great. Well, we're going to go ahead and deem that as no public present in that case. So let's move on to communication.
Okay, the first thing that I had down was just to mention the Charles D. Ingersoll Trust. I did put some closing values down for you to see. It had dropped as low at one point of at least 20 million. I did just check today. It is back up to about 23,500,000. So it's looking a little bit better than it did. It did close at a very good high on December 31st of 2019 at over 27 million. So we are, at a deficit, but it's at least on the upswing. And then I did receive an email from Rick Imhoff, and given the COVID-19 issues and whatnot, they were going to cancel the group meeting for the Ingersoll Trust. He did say he would be willing to take phone calls from anyone on the board if anyone had any questions, but at this point, they're just going to cancel that. Any other comments on that, or if everyone is agreeable with that?
Yeah, no, I think
Think we're good? Okay.
yes, I mean, I would say.
The next thing I had down, I just wanted to let people know that I did receive the receipts for the statements of economic interest that were filed. Normally, I keep those here at the library, but if anyone would want their receipt, please let me know and I can make sure that you get that. And then the other update that I had under communications was related to the city health insurance. We did have our health insurance consultant, Tim Wyman. The initial renewal with Blue Cross was up 22.5%. He got that down to 16.5%. And at that time, there was a another bid, so he was able to leverage a little bit more. So our average for the whole group of health insurance went up 11.4%. The Guardian insurance, which is dental and vision, it includes life, although it did not change. Dental and vision went up about 3%. The city council did approve that, so those increases will be going in for our staff as of as of May 1, although it will be taken out of June paycheck. So those were approved by City Council. And that was all I had on communications.
Okay, very good. Well, in that case, let's go ahead and move on to the first item on our agenda, which is the consent agenda for March 2020. If anyone's had a chance to review that, does anybody have any questions or concerns about that for last month? Okay, hearing none, is there a motion to approve that?
So move.
Thank you. Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Kim. Is there any further discussion? Okay, hearing none, could we do the roll call vote, please?
Sure, and I'll follow suit how City Council does, so I will now go in reverse alphabetical order. So, Keely Vollmer.
Aye.
Rhonda Vogel.
Aye.
Trig Mead.
Aye.
Kathy Ludlam.
Aye.
Chris Layton.
Aye.
Kim Fraley.
Aye.
And Jana Emmons.
Aye.
Okay, so that one passes unanimously. Thank you very much. And we will move on to discussing the COVID-19 situation with the library.
Okay, there are just so many pieces of this. First of all, I will just start with acknowledging that we had extended our closure to April 20th. And we held there even though the governor extended till April 30th. So you as a board had a chance to determine how you wanted to proceed on closure from there. In discussions among libraries and in listening to the governor speak, I've heard a variety of things on if it would get extended further, if there might be openings in waves with different amounts of public exposure. I think we'll just have to wait and see. But I thought I would fill you in on just a few of the things that the staff and I have talked about. First of all, I will be meeting with Tiffany Kaufman, our youth services librarian, on Monday face-to-face. I've talked to her on the phone. We really don't want to cancel our summer reading program, but in view of what we think might be coming up, we may have to cancel story times and other large group events. So we're looking at perhaps we might have to have a new type of summer reading where most things are done on an individual basis. So students will still have logs. They can still come in as a family, but we will try not to have organized group settings of anything for summer reading. At this point, we had already booked three performers. The earliest one is June 25th. So I do not know if that will cancel. We're going to talk to them about what the options are, but I would think a lot of parents, even if this is lifted, would probably not want to risk bringing their child into a crowd. So I'm thinking we will probably try to do alternatives. While we aren't looking at doing any curbside delivery, because we most likely will have our parking lot worked on, we're looking at maybe having something like call-in checkouts, and we will let people call in with requests. We will pull books, check things out, have them ready to go for the person to come in and pick up, but that would then limit the patrons' exposure to other people coming in. We talked about having, we used to have make it, take it crafts, where children would come in with their families and make a craft here and then take it home. And a lot of the youth services librarians are now looking at calling them take it, make it, instead of make it, take it, so that you can come in and take a prepackaged craft and bring it home. I've talked with Tiffany about maybe she could record a video of showing herself on how to do this craft. And then the children can see Miss Tiffany doing the craft online and then they can do it as well. For those that don't have internet, there might be an option that they'd have instructions included in their packet when they pick it up. We still have plans for two part-time helpers. And I think if we do a lot of individualized service with summer reading, we can be pulling more and more packages for the students when they come in. So it's still kind of in a rough stage. But at that point, that's kind of what we're looking at possibly for summer reading. on the circulation side, got a couple of things going on. I've attended several webinars related to disinfecting materials and recommendations as to how long they need to be quarantined. I'm doing another one on Friday. Some recommendations have come from the CDC and some have come from a document center in the Northeast that deals with archival materials. But basically where it stands right now is what they're looking at is it is highly unlikely for the virus to exist on paper products or actually counters and then be transmitted back up. While they can detect it on them, the likelihood you'd get it back up from a piece of paper or a counter is unlikely. It's more likely to be spread by droplets and contacting someone. But what we thought we were looking at is we would look at, the CDC recommended if something is returned, give it 24 hours and it should be fine on paper surfaces, 48 if you were concerned. Now they're pushing that to 72. So we are thinking what we will do is when items are returned, we will check them immediately to make sure they do not have bed bugs or any other insect infestation. And then we will quarantine those items. We will put them in our back room for 72 hours before we then have staff touch them, sort them, and shelve them. So we're looking at ways to protect the staff that way. I did order, they call them sneeze guards. They're like a plastic that can go in front of checkout lanes. I know some businesses have done that. I don't know how preventative that is, but we thought it would help staff be more comfortable waiting on the public. So I have three of those that are on order and they should arrive tomorrow. We also went to Dye's Bridal. I'll put in a plug for them. They are actually making masks for people and for our local health community. They're accepting donations for those, but otherwise they're not charging. So we went and we did give them a donation of $50, but we were going to get two masks for each staff person. These are cloth masks that they can then launder. So we decided to get everyone two so they could bring one home and launder it while they have one that they can wear at the library. Again, these kinds of masks are recommended to protect others from you. But again, some staff might feel more comfortable with that. We do have gloves, but I know a lot of places are running short on gloves and cleaning materials. I do have one or two staff that are sensitive to bleach, and that has always been the case. But we are also using hydrogen peroxide and alcohol, which is recommended that can also kill the virus. We plan to waive all fines during the times we're closed, as well as I would think at least a month after we open. And we're right now running into an issue. I've had two or three people bring up automated notices are going out. So people are now at the point that the items they checked out that we said, don't worry when they're due, they're hitting lost status and they're getting a billing notice. So we did post on our website and our Facebook page. And anyone that does leave a message for us, we are waiving those fines. Where it's really coming into play is if it is a patron that downloads materials, the OverDrive system will block them if it sees a charge on their account. So they need to talk with us and then we will clear that. And we did talk about, you know, ways to extend due dates and whatnot. And we really did not want to get into the process of our vendor having to change every coding and then change it again when we had an extended date and whatnot. So we're trying to work with people. We plan to waive all these fines anyway as we keep extending. But all our staff and their families so far have been well. I am coming in every day and I have other staff coming in on a selective basis. I try not to have more than two or three people in the building at a time. We're not really having too many people working from home. We're having them come in and do their work here. At this point, I'm here to receive deliveries. I have not stopped delivery on any books. All those are coming in. So when I get enough, I'm having staff that can catalog come in, staff that can process materials come in. I do let all these materials that are shipped sit for 24 to 48 hours before anybody comes in contact with them. We also are in pretty good shape compared to other libraries in that our bylaws say that the director can go ahead with bill pay as long as it's something that's already been budgeted for. So unlike some libraries that have had to have emergency meetings just to pay their bills, we're in pretty good shape for that, to just keep doing that, even though you technically approve them with your consent agenda after the fact. So on all those things, I think we've been doing a pretty good job keeping up with things. My concerns are more, I think we've got a strategy for when we might reopen. My concerns are perhaps what might happen as staff might get ill later once they're exposed, and how we really want to deal with extending the closures and proceeding with that. So I don't know if people have questions for me on that or any other comments.
So I think that, you know, one of the things that we kind of alluded to at the start of, you know, of the update is just that we have only extended the closure through Monday. And the reason for that was, I mean, both to recognize, you know, that the state had extended its stay at home order later than that, but also that we knew that we were going to have the trustees meeting today. And that that's a decision that Kim and I have made together. And, you know, we sort of talked about it a little bit last time, but knowing that we would have the chance to have this meeting today, we just wanted to sort of open that up to the board to just kind of maybe get everybody's thoughts. So it's a little bit more of a group decision on how long we want to keep the library closed. And so I guess maybe just to start that discussion, you know, I could see a couple of options. I mean, one would just be to say, well, you know, the current stay at home order is going to expire on April 30th. And so we could say that the library was going to reopen, you know, just the following business day to that, which I think would be Friday, May 1st. You know, we could say that it's the following Monday. We could say that we're going to make a decision as a board just to reopen when the stay-at-home order is lifted. You know, and like I said, I just wanted to make sure that we kind of got everybody's take on that because, you know, again, although that we can make that decision alone pursuant to the bylaws, it's never, I think, a good idea to cut people out. So does anybody have any thoughts on what we might pursue as a strategy for when we do want to reopen?
My question would be, if the stay-at-home order is lifted, are we prepared? Kim, are you prepared to open the day after that?
At this point, yes, I think we can. I think I've talked with staff on our strategy of how we would do that. Because we've been open, because we've been receiving deliveries, cataloging things, I think all those things are there. I think we can only plan so much as to how overloaded we might be. If we would decide when we would open, I would definitely put out a press release to all media stating, you know, fines will be waived for at least a month. You don't have to bring everything in the first day we open and try to spread it out. Some libraries have talked about having special hours for seniors when they'd open. A lot of our clientele are already that age, and I feel that we'd be making them come in groups of too many if we did that. Some libraries are wondering, should they restrict children? And I really can't see doing that either. I think keeping our regular hours would be the thing to do. I think we would be ready to open a following day. Just because we've been open, we've been well, and we've been able to keep up with everything thus far. And I think all staff realize, yes, they are technically on call. So to me, that would not be that big of an issue. I don't know if I'd open on a Saturday for a half day, but otherwise I think keeping our regular hours, we would be fine opening the day after, if that would be the case. My thing I'm anticipating is, we might be able to, you know, if the governor, say, lifts the stay-at-home order, we might be able to have that individualized service, but we would be canceling all large group meetings.
So I guess my thought on it, I mean, to kind of contribute to that discussion, is just that we do want, I think, I mean, you know, the instinct would be to open, at least in my mind, as quickly as possible, you know, just to make that service available for people and also to let them know, you know, that we are there. I think it contributes to an overall sense of normalcy. You know, the more things that are open, you know, the quicker the we're all going to be able to get back to normal. And I think that that's a good message to be sending right now. I mean, and we are sort of a unit of Canton's government. So, you know, it's good to sort of be, you know, on the same page and just providing that service for people. So, yeah, like, I mean, my instinct, like I said, would be to do it basically as soon as we can do so safely.
The only other thing I might just bring up is the one area I would hold back on is our outreach delivery. I know a lot of the group homes that we go to are not allowing visitors as it is, but because that congregation of people like that can tend to be more of a hot spot, I wouldn't want to risk our outreach staff member going to those places perhaps until the second month after we're able to open. But other than that, yes, I think we could be ready to go whenever you would feel we could.
So I think one way to handle that in that case would just be to kind of today extend it until April 30th, you know, with the assumption that we're going to open May 1st unless the stay-at-home order gets extended. How does everybody feel about that?
Sounds good to me.
I agree. I think wait and see. May 30th or April 30th sounds great unless it gets extended.
Are people comfortable going with the extension date that the governor would choose? I know in the beginning we were kind of looking at what the schools were going to do, that's kind of up in the air a little bit too with their ability to e-learn. But otherwise, if it would get extended beyond April 30th, I can still, as our policy says, I can just talk with Trigg and see if he's willing to extend whatever date the governor gives or what people feel comfortable with. Just helps us give a little more plan as to what we will do.
Do we even have a choice within the current executive order as a library?
Not really. In the list that we have seen, libraries are not considered essential services. So if the governor would do a release of certain essential services and not others, I don't know if perhaps some other currently non-essential services might seem more essential than the library. So at that point, right now we are not, but the order I think allows you know, me to be in to kind of as administrative keep things going. We make sure payroll is going. There are basic services that I think we have been following that and following social distancing within the staff and not having more than so many staff in the building at a time. But technically we are not considered an essential service like a bank or a grocery store, or actually even maybe an educational institution because we're not a school or a university.
Or a law office, believe it or not. That was kind of surprising. If it's okay, I don't know that we have this on the agenda as an action item, because I think this is more kind of a like taking the temperature, you know, of the trustees to kind of make sure that we're all on the same page. But would it be fair to say that we kind of have consensus around basically waiting until we can and then just doing it immediately? Does that sound okay?
Trigg, just for my information, I had just put COVID-19 in the library discussion and possible action item. In the future, would I need to specify closure as a separate item? Would that be?
I don't think so. I mean, Okay. Only because we're doing this, like I said, I mean, we're not exercising, like, this is kind of like a temperature taking exercise. So I think I think the way that we did it's fine.
Okay. So we're going with April 30th or an extension from the governor.
Okay, great. Thank you guys for that. It's really helpful to be able to know, because, I mean, like I said, it just, you always want to know what everybody's kind of thinking about that. So if it's okay, we'll move on to the bids for the concrete work on section one of the parking lot.
Yes, I just wanted to give people an update. I spoke with Bill Phillips on this. He is planning to put out bid quotes and have a bid opening the last week in April. He will then give us his recommendation, and he feels he would have a recommendation for us by the time we have our May meeting, which would be May 20th. Again, this is just the first section of concrete, which would go from the base of the parking lot where the Locust Street Drive comes down to Chestnut Street. And it would just be that straight path and everything going east to the building. So it would include the handicap parking spaces and that straight drive. So I just wanted to let people know where we were with that. And that is his plan and his timetable for that.
Great. Anybody got any questions about that?
What do the handicap parkers do if their slot is torn up?
Okay. At this point, I would assume that they could give us a call and we could go do curbside for them.
Okay.
They're assuming when they do that piece that the both sides of the drive on that side of the parking lot would be unavailable, but parking would be available on the west side. So there would be further for the handicapped to reach, but there would be other library parking on that side. And yes, people could just call us and we would be able to do delivery or pickup for them.
Okay, let's move on in that case to the next item on the agenda, which is the taxation and the city budget, which was something that we spent some time on this month, I'd say. So do you want to start, Kim, or shall I?
Either way, Trig, if you want to go ahead.
Well, I'll talk about, just to kind of maybe just bring an update, we had exchanged some correspondence with the city. They did receive our letter that we had approved at the last meeting, which is the official document that we submit for their taxation, which is the request to be included in their December 2020 levy for taxes that would be collected next year, and then we would receive them next year. So right on schedule for that. Sort of contemporaneously with that, Kim and I addressed the city council last week by Zoom. I have to say that I think that we're doing a better job technologically than they did last week. There were some technical hiccups, but we were able to address them at some point. They gave me 5 minutes to talk about it. I think we packed a lot in those 5 minutes. I just got a couple of questions about, you know, is this something, you know, that could be done by grant? I sort of gave my opinion on why we probably couldn't do that. You know, just because it was a longer term budget problem, not something that you're going to solve with a one-time grant. People, you know, were just asking questions about minimum wage and, you know, whether that would account for all of it. No, what's the necessary capital improvements too? So I think we're able to, you know, answer a couple of questions. No one seemed thrilled about it, which I think might have been a little too much to hope for. No one seemed like they were necessarily up in arms about it at that particular meeting. Prior to that meeting, there had been some conversation between our attorney and the city attorney where he was raising a technical question about whether if the total tax extension was more than 15%, whether that would have to be put forth for referendum. I think the answer to that from a legal standpoint is just a really unequivocal no. And our attorney, I think, did a pretty good job of laying that out in the letter. And so, you know, I'm not sure that that's going to be the last we hear of that, but that really is a no. And I don't think it's, I think, you know, we're just going to have to kind of push through that if they try to raise that again, because that's just not that really doesn't have a lot of legal basis. I think, you know, they might have been, I'm not really sure where Chris's mind was on that. Chris Jump's mind was on that. In terms of like asking that question, you know, I don't know if he was looking for a way to make it a referendum, if he was just maybe not, you know, familiar with the statute, you know, or what that was. But there really isn't much of a basis for that. There was kind of a question as to whether we would go on their budget that they're about to pass. It sounds like based on the way that their fiscal year runs, we would not be on this year's budget because they would not start collecting taxes until June of 2021. And this year's budget would run from May of 2020 to the end of April of 2021. So we're going to fall after that. So I think we'll be on their budget next year. But we just wanted to make sure, you know, that we were all kind of clear about that with them. So the next action that they're going to need to do is to have us on their levy this December. The auditing firm, I guess, that they used to help them repair their levy was on the Zoom call as well, and mentioned that they would reach out to us to make sure, you know, that we were working together to do that. We'd actually reached out to them previously, and I don't know that the person that was on the call was aware of that, but Kim was able to point that out, that we'd already sort of, you know, given them that information, you know, and that everything is kind of already been provided. So we'll probably need to follow up with them to make sure that we, you know, just continue to make sure that they know that, because this is new, you know, and maybe difficult, I guess. So we're going to need to follow up on that, I think, over the next, you know, several months, just to make sure that it's all kind of taken care of. We are also going to help them with their truth and taxation hearings. So that'll probably happen in November, because there is a pretty strict statutory, it's got to happen like a certain length of time before the levy is actually passed. So I think it's between 2 and 3 weeks. So they got to do it in November, so that we can pass a levy in December. And we're going to continue to follow up with them and just make sure that we've got a really clear sense of when those dates are going to be. Because if it were maybe something that they weren't excited about doing it anyway, I don't know that they would be devastated if there were some technical problem that stopped it from happening. So we're probably, like I said, just going to continue to follow up with them to make sure that we are kind of hitting those marks. Simultaneously with that, with the Zoom call last week, they had, Kent McDowell, the mayor, had suggested that we would get a press release put together. So we did, and that was something that you guys took a look at last month. That was released to the press about the same time, a little bit before the meeting, with just an embargo to make sure that it didn't get printed until after. I believe the Democrat printed it. I don't think the Ledger has. Not really sure what's going on with the Ledger there, but the Democrat did print it, so that was out last week, and I thought the article was actually really good. You know, it was very, very clear about why we needed to do it. You know, it cast it in the light of we had prevented it from happening for a long time, and we're simply not able to do that anymore, which is really exactly the message that I hope people are getting, you know, that this is not a capricious decision, you know, it's something that we tried to hold off on for a while. And it had good information about when people could expect to, you know, see that tax increase, not till next year, not till after this current thing's over. And so I thought that that article was great. You know, and I was happy with, you know, I mean, I think as happy as we could have been, you know, with the response from the city council, if maybe a little disappointed that they didn't, I mean, I think we'd worked kind of hard to make sure that this was not the first time they'd heard it, you know, that information was given to them ahead of time, you know, on sort of what we wanted to do and why and everything. I mean, we wrote that letter. And I think it was clear that for most of the people on the call, it was the first time that they'd heard it. So that was maybe a little disappointing. But like I said, I mean, no one raised any, you know, no one threw anything, no one shouted, you know. So it was, I think, a good, you know, it was a good first look at it for those people, you know, and I hope it continues to be smooth. I do think, I mean, you know, just from a legal, mechanical, you know, kind of how does this work standpoint, you know, really we have kind of done everything that we need to do, legally speaking, to get it done at this point. The rest of the action is technically on them, because it really would be their truth and taxation hearing. It's their levy. It's funny to see myself. You can't see me gesturing with my hands. So I just kind of gesture with my head, I guess. So all of that, you know, that really is on them to do that. And they do have a pretty clear legal obligation to do it. But obviously, you know, our participation in this is just going to be to sort of make sure that we assist them in kind of getting it done, because it is new. And because obviously we're the ones who really, you know, need it in a way that they maybe don't clearly feel. So as we continue to have those discussions, you know, as Kim does and as I do, one of the things that I'm going to try my best to project is just a sense that, you know, it really is kind of a done deal. Because legally speaking, that's true. You know, when they receive that letter from us, that triggers that obligation. You know, it's kind of a one-to-one thing. And I do not want them to, you know, see us, you know, I guess prevaricate about it too much to them. Because I would hate to give them the impression that this was not a done deal, you know, and that there was more that we had to do, or that there was some issue with it. Because there, I mean, first off, there isn't, you know, and second, I would just rather not, you know, I don't want to spend a lot of time fighting about it with them, because there really should not, you know, be a fight about it. And so as, like I said, as we continue to talk about it, that's really what I'm going to try to project, is just that, hey, we should have done this. How can I help you, you know, make this easier? How can I help you, you know, get this done? How can I help you, you know, do these things? And I think that's the tack that we're probably going to want to take with the auditing firm too, as they prepare the levy. So there probably isn't going to be a ton of action on this. Like, this may be the last time that you guys hear a whole lot about it until the fall. Not that we won't have, you know, other stuff to do. You know, I'm sure, you know, whatever we hear, whatever the content of the meeting is, of course, we'll report it back to you. But I think I'm sort of happy to say that there probably won't be a lot for this group of people to do, like I said, until, you know, until the fall. So I guess I would say, you know, so far, okay. And we're just going to stay on them to make sure that we keep going that way, because it seems like it's going well. The only other thing I did want to mention, and I don't want to, like, and I think, you know, I don't want to step on Kim having a different impression of this, so, you know, I'll be quiet in a minute. After the article ran, yesterday at work, I did get a letter in the mail from someone who I think it is safe to say is opposed to the tax increase, and did cut out the article for me, you know, and did underline some parts of it, you know, and call me some names in that letter. And it was signed, but there wasn't a return address and the signature wasn't legible. So, you know, I think I had the sense that that person, he or she, honestly, I'm not really sure, maybe more just wanted to vent about it, you know, and just kind of give their impression, you know, about why it was not a necessary thing to do. And so there really isn't any way for me to respond to that person, and I'm probably not going to think about it very much after this, you know, simply because there isn't a way to do that. But, you know, my name was in the article, Kim's name was in the article, nobody else's was. If for whatever reason, you know, if you do get communication, that is uncomfortable, you know, and you don't want to respond to it, or, you know, or whatever, if somebody knows that you're on the board or whatever, I would just encourage you to bring that to Kim, you know, and we'll sort of take it from there, because you really don't need to feel the personal burden, I think, of responding to that or worrying about it. You know, this is kind of a group decision. And so, you know, I doubt that that's going to happen. But since I got one, I figured I would just mention that don't, you know, feel as though you personally need to, you know, take that weight to do that. So Kim, I know I just expounded about that, but what do we need to add to that?
Well, I think you summed up everything well as far as our meeting with City Council. I could just chime in to add that I did receive an email from a patron who's a big supporter of the library, and they had just sent me an email asking, you know, did we get what we were needed, and he hopes so, because he's supportive of what we need. So I think it might be a good thing if we, you know, get this information, that we hold on to it in a file, good or bad, just so we have that information going forward. We originally had talked about, you know, once the city had approved us in their budget, that we would be proactive. I would be putting out a press release on the website and on the Facebook page as of May 1, to just kind of get our word out there. Because it's kind of been a slow opening here, and the fact that the library is closed, we were ready to have handouts with fact sheets for the public. I just kind of wanted to know how the board feels. Do you feel we should just, you know, hold tight for a while and maybe not put anything formally out till later in the year when the levy issue would come up? Do you think we should just start sending out letters now, be in front of it? Because we had talked about also sending letters to non-residents in May so that they would know, you know, they would be still receiving service for a year, but then as of May of 2021, they would be charged a fee. My personal thing is I don't want to send out letters when we're not even open yet to respond. But other than these two comments, we haven't had anything yet on Facebook or a phone call. But our site hasn't really been put out there either. And I just didn't know how people feel, which way to want to go with that.
Would it be possible that we delay the letters until just throwing out June so everybody can kind of get our feet back on the ground? And
sure. I mean, I can delay the non-resident letter as long as people want. I can also hold the fact sheet. The plan was to hold those, and if a patron asked, then the staff could hand that out. But instead of putting it, you know, right out there as a formal press release on the website, we can hold it. I just kind of wanted to get a feel for, you know, there's the I want to be out in front of it point of view, and then there's the, you know, don't stir it up yet if, you know, everybody has enough on their plate with everything else going on in their lives, particularly this time with COVID-19.
I don't want to interrupt. I did just get a message from Laura that she just heard to join the meeting.
Okay, I see her there. So, Well, she was there and now she's gone. I don't see her showing up. I went to admit her and she's not there. Are you getting a message? Was it a text message or can you get back to her?
Yeah, and I just sent her back. We're still going. Can you try to join again?
Okay, perfect. I'll see.
So I guess we'll see.
Watch for that, yeah.
I don't know, Kim. I feel like it's great to be transparent, and there was something in the Democrat, which, by the way, it was, like you said, it was very well written. But then again, everybody's really on edge right now, and the library's not open to respond to people. So maybe, like, I believe it was Rhonda said, maybe hold off until June. If you haven't gotten a lot of emails or phone call messages about it at this point, do you think that waiting till another time might be best, it being in the situation and emotions are high right now for people?
Yeah, no, I agree. I think we can, there's Laura. Hopefully she'll be joining. I think we can do that and hold off. And if I get questions, of course, I would answer. But no, I'm fine with holding off given the circumstances, because I agree, being cooped up, people are maybe going to be, you know, a little less patient and tolerant because they're frustrated as it is. So be no problem.
And I would say that was the sense that I had from the letter that I got, was that, you know, gosh, I can't believe that, you know, right now, you know, with everything being as hard as it is, that you guys are raising taxes and, you know, so hopefully that person got, you know, if they read the article again, which I guess they can't because they sent me their copy. They would get the sense, you know, that it would not be open, like that this wouldn't happen until next year, you know. So we're not raising taxes like in the middle of a crisis. We're going to wait until the first wave is over. Hey, Laura, can you hear me? And I see that your audio.
I'm here.
Hello. We were just discussing the issue of the press release went out to the Democrat and to the Ledger. The Democrat printed it, the Ledger didn't. You know, just about the tax increase. And what we were discussing is, you know, whether we would maybe put something on our social media about it. And I think the comments so far have kind of indicated that maybe we want to wait a little bit, you know, until the current situation with the pandemic is a little bit is a little bit behind us, so that we don't accidentally, you know, stir anybody up that's stressed anyway. And so I think that's kind of where we're at. Okay. How does that strike you?
Yeah, that's fine with me. And I apologize for, I've been on phone calls for work and I lost track of time. I apologize.
I can believe that there's a lot going on right now. So
no one cared about telehealth at my place 2 months ago, but now everybody cares.
I can imagine so. Okay.
This is Rhonda. I wanted to also say I got a phone call and it was very positive. It was wondering how we had lasted so long without asking for tax dollars. So I'm hoping I get more of those.
Yeah, me too.
That's two positives and one negative.
Yeah.
Going well so far.
So we're, you know, and everyone at this meeting thinks it's a good idea. So, you know, we've got that going for us. Okay. Kim, does that give you what you need for that part of it?
Yes. And I'll keep everybody posted, you know, as whether our next meeting's virtual or how we meet on any types of feedback that I'm hearing. But no, that's wonderful. Thank you.
Great. Okay. Well, in that case, let's move on to a follow-up on the USDA Community Facilities Fund grant.
Yes. This has gotten fairly complicated, and I did try to put a lot of that in the action item memo. But basically, I'll try to sum up how it is kind of gone. In looking into the information on doing this, one of the things that I found out was, given the fact that we are already in the process of seeking bids for that first section of parking lot concrete, we cannot apply for that for the grant at this time. Lynn Armstrong was positive in thinking that we could possibly apply when we do the second or third phase. But the issue is, when she first looked at it, the way they award their grants, they award them to municipalities, nonprofits, or special districts. And she could not determine if the library would be qualified to apply on its own, or if we would have to apply and have the city apply on our behalf. So when I sent her the information about our organization, she came back and said we had to have an attorney opinion letter filled out as a pre-application for the attorney to determine if we were the entity that could fill out for that grant or if we had to ask the city on our behalf. I also asked her if the city was applying for this, would we jeopardize their chances in getting a grant? And she had replied on that. They might be able to juggle which fiscal years grants were going in. But we then asked Phil and Zini, you know, here's an attorney opinion letter. What might be your fee to look into this information? Because I can tell you, I have documents that are minutes from the library board meeting in 1894 asking the city to tax on our behalf for 2 mil or whatever, and it is in our minutes. I don't have like an official ordinance stating we were founded on this day. I had tried to look at the city building at their, briefly when I was there for another issue, at their ordinances and their minutes, and I could not see anything. I intended to go back and look again. And then of course offices were closed because of COVID-19. So basically, I don't know if this is something we want to pursue later for another section of the parking lot. I don't know if it's worth attorney fees to see if we qualify. I don't know if the timing would be good to ask the city to apply for a grant on our behalf. There are just a lot more pieces to this than we originally saw. So I don't know if anybody has any comments. I tried to copy and paste the responses that I received from the attorney and from Lynn Armstrong about the grant.
I will say it was very helpful when I got the question at the council meeting saying, have you applied for any grants? And I said, well, as a matter of fact, we're working on one right now. So it was very nice to be able to honestly say that. I've looked at that attorney letter too. And it kind of strikes me that there are documents that we would need to attach to it that we don't have right now. You know, I'm not saying that they don't exist. I'm not saying, you know, that they're not buried someplace. But the documents specifically that we're sort of like thinking about or needing to have is whatever document sort of constitutes us as a municipal library. So it would be the equivalent of like if we were a business, like our articles of incorporation or, you know, something along those lines, like whatever document makes us a legal entity. And typically for a municipal library that was founded a little bit later than we were, like sometime in the 20th century, that would be an organizational ordinance under the Local Libraries Act. But we didn't have that back in the 1800s when we were founded. It would have probably been some ordinance the city council passed, you know, that established the Parlin Ingersoll Library or, you know, under, I'm not sure if it was even the same name, that it's very difficult, you know, to know what that ordinance would be, and to know even if they did that in the same way back in the 1800s as we do now, you know, like if they passed ordinances like that, or if they passed resolutions, or, you know, if people talked about it and then they just wrote checks, you know, because generally, you know, things were a little less formal in government at that time. So it's not really clear to me, you know, where we would be able to find that document or what that document would look like. And, you know, when Phil says, oh, I think it cost $1,000, I think he might actually be undershooting that just because of the amount of time I think it would take to do all that searching to try to find that. And so it kind of seems to me like, as an attorney, not as our attorney, that we have this like sort of broader issue and that we probably need to be able to point to something that documents how we were founded that may end up being a resolution that we pass at some point, you know, that says that, you know, that sort of says, hey, like retroactively, like these documents don't seem to exist anymore, but we're just recognizing that on X date, this library, you know, came into being this way. And that would probably work going forward, but I don't know that we're in that position right now, to be able to do that. I don't know if Phil would feel differently, but I guess that's sort of my unofficial legal opinion about that.
So could you remind me again, please, Kim, when phase 2 and 3 begin?
According to Bill Phillips' plan, it would be each of the next subsequent summers for the next 5 years would complete the base bottom part of the parking lot. So I don't know if it's something that, you know, we could look at a few years down the line. I know it came up because Laura had brought up this year in particular, they had extra funds because Fulton County was declared a disaster area because of flooding. Lynn Armstrong alludes to the fact that, you know, you can apply any year, they have funds on other years, but that was, I think, what really kind of brought it to the forefront when Laura noticed that they were saying they had extra funding. But at that point, you know, we aren't eligible for this section this year.
So I would say, I mean, I guess just from my impression of how all this works and like what would kind of go into it, that applying for next summer even I think would maybe be feasible, you know, and we would sort of be past this issue, at least initially with the taxing. I kind of like it for that reason too. So I guess that's kind of where my head's at, is that, you know, table it this year, use the extra time to sort of get our house in order in terms of, you know, what, like, can we have those documents available next year? you know, and really take a real run at it at that point. You know, I think that, like I said, I just think that that's kind of where my mind's at, but I would hate to, like, you know, preclude anybody else from saying what they thought.
I would support that, Trey.
Anybody not like that idea? I guess that's kind of a very confrontational way to say that, but...
My concern is just right now there are so many new pieces of legislation out there and so much related to HR changes and COVID-19 and more stimulus packages and everything else that I just kind of think it's just there's a lot on everybody's plate, and I don't know how much money will be in the coffers after we get through all the rest of this. You know, I can bring it up again next year when the timing seems right. Lynn Armstrong alluded to like bringing it up in the fall for the following year. So I don't know if we'd be ready this fall, but maybe a year from this fall for what would probably be then phase 3. Maybe will life settle down? I don't know. But maybe it might be, the timing might be a little more favorable. And I can bring that up next year and you can decide.
Okay, table it for now.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, everybody. Laura, for bringing that up, and Kim for looking into it. And, you know, because I do see that as feasible, you know, down the line for sure. Sorry. We are going to move on in that case. And I put my agenda down to look at something else. So our next item on our agenda is the sexual harassment policy and resolution.
Okay. We had talked about this last month and tabled it. I had crafted, as required by the changes in the law, I crafted and I borrowed heavily from the ordinance the city of Canton did to create a resolution about a sexual harassment policy. I included revisions in your packet to our current harassment policy. One of the main things I was holding off on is this addition to the law, and this requires that annually every employee take training, on interactive training on sexual harassment. Currently, there is a webinar that is online through the Rails Library system for us through December. The Illinois Department of Human Rights website does not have anything up yet. I'm assuming the perhaps the best way to do this is to wait till the fall and have a group of staff watch together at least what the Rails webinar is, so that we can have a discussion. But we do need to, you know, pass the resolution and accept the changes to the policies. I did not know if under the changes to the Open Meetings Act, if this is considered, you know, an essential piece of business that needs to be done now, or if, again, we should table it. But I at least put it in everybody's packet so they had time to look at it. It requires a little more change in the definitions of what constitutes sexual harassment. There is the training piece that goes along with it. And then there is a new part that if we would have any claims, we now have to disclose them to the appropriate agency. But I don't know on a legal point if you feel we need to deal with this right now or not, or if there are any things that jump out at you, Trig, probably having done this for others, anything that might need to be changed.
No, the resolution's great. I mean, okay. It's a very good textbook version of what they want that to look like now. And in terms of essential or non-essential, you know, the state seemed pretty serious about us all passing one of those. You know, and it's their rules about what counts. So I think we can take their word for it. So I think we can deal with it now.
Okay.
Anybody else have any discussion of that, or, you know, any questions or concerns, or, you know, any potential changes that we would need to make? Okay. Hearing none in that case, does anybody have a motion to approve that?
I'll move approval.
So I think I heard Chris move and Rhonda second.
Yeah, sure. That's fine.
Oh.
Sorry. Is there any further discussion? Okay. In that case, and Laura, we're doing roll call votes, just so it's kind of clear. So, Kim, if you're ready.
Okay. Jana? Hi. Kim Fraley?
Aye.
Laura?
Aye.
Okay. Chris?
Aye.
Kathy?
Aye.
Trig?
Aye.
Rhonda?
Aye.
And Keely?
Aye.
Okay, so those changes will pass unanimously, and we can move on to considering approval to process the IPLR report.
Yes, I just put this on, and maybe it was just in all the what ifs of how long will we be closed and whatnot. I just wanted to put down our fiscal year is ending a month sooner, so actually our fiscal year will end April 30th this year, and legally I have 60 days to fill out the IPLR, which is the Illinois Public Library Annual Report, and to do an annual report of our own. And in the past, I have always brought both of these up to the board for approval. And I guess I was just thinking that if for some reason we would have any hiccups, if you would want to approve me filing that, if we do have a hiccup, to at least get it in by the state deadline. Otherwise, I would plan to hopefully bring those figures to you at the May meeting. That is the document that once you approve it, the president and the secretary have to actually come to my desk and electronically type in their name to sign off on it. But if people are comfortable waiting, that's fine with me too. I realize it's 2 months off. I just did not know where we might be. And I just wanted to bring it up again because the deadline is a month sooner as well. Any other comments or questions on that?
Does anybody have any concern with tentatively approving it? In that case, would there be a motion to approve Kim to file that? And then we'll just get a copy of it when it's available.
I'll make the motion. This is Kim.
Kim? Is there a second?
I'll second.
Okay, I heard Keely. Okay, any further discussion? Hearing none. Are you ready?
Yes, roll call. Keely?
Aye.
Rhonda?
Aye.
Trig?
Aye.
Kathy?
Aye.
Chris?
Aye.
Laura?
Aye.
Kim?
Aye.
And Jana?
Aye.
Okay, so that one will pass unanimously as well. The only other thing on the agenda for this month is just recommending board candidates for mayoral appointments. Just as the board is aware, we have one vacancy right now. And after our meeting last month, I did reach out to a couple of people that we had discussed. I think people are kind of in a pattern right now of just wanting to hold off, on new commitments until things calm down a little bit. So I got two interested that asked me again in a couple months answers, which I think is only fair. One thing that we might consider doing, is just waiting until the situation calms down a little bit and then making that appointment. We do actually still have to reappoint the three trustees who are not vacancies to our new year. And Kim, can you remind me who's up this year?
Yeah, Laura, Kathy, and Jana's terms expire in May of 2020. And they had expressed interest, last month in wanting to seek reappointment. Normally what I do then is after this meeting, when the board selects their recommendations to give to the mayor, I send the mayor a letter. And usually he makes his appointments at the first council meeting that first Tuesday in May, which is May 5th.
And we have no reason to think that it's not going to happen that way this year. Is it okay? Does anybody have any concern with waiting to fill the vacancy until we can reapproach those people once things calm down a little bit? Okay. How about anybody have any concern with going ahead and sending the mayor our three reappointments? Well, thank you, all three, for being willing to do that. Is there a motion to make that recommendation to the mayor for the three reappointments?
I'll make the motion. Okay. Rhonda.
Sorry. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Okay, we got Chris. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye. I guess we need a roll call.
Right. Jana?
Aye.
Kim?
Aye.
Laura?
Aye.
Chris?
Aye.
Kathy?
Aye.
Trig?
Aye.
Rhonda?
Aye.
And Keely?
Aye.
Okay, so that one also will pass unanimously. And I think that brings us to the close of this month's agenda. So thank you guys so much for being willing to do it this way. You know, it really has obviously, there have been a lot of changes the last couple of months, but you know, it's great to be able to know that we can keep doing this stuff because it just, you know, it just makes everything feel a little bit more normal. So I hope you guys are all doing really well, and let us know if you have any questions or concerns. But otherwise, is there a motion to adjourn?
I'll make that motion.
Okay, I heard a motion and a second. And that one, actually, we can do by acclamation because it doesn't, it's not like a recorded vote. So all in favor say aye.
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 All opposed, same sign. All right, well, thank you guys again very much for your leadership on this, you know, and for sticking with us. You know, it really is going great. And I think we're doing a great job for people. And we'll see you next month, if not before.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you.